Blog Talk Radio.
I'll be doing every Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you this evening. We have Miss Renee Diane Flagler. She's an author extraordinaire. She's going to be our host today, and she'll be coming on to discuss her novels and upcoming events. So just sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. Thank you. Sue Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, coming to you this evening on this Monday, this fall Monday, 2010 here, this November 15th. And we want to get started today. We have a special guest on show today, Miss Renee Daniel Flagler, and we'll be talking with her in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we just kind of want to give you a little bit of admin stuff that's going on. Just want to let you all know that we're happy that you were able to come on the show, and we're glad that you have been supporting as far as coming on and joining the fan page on Facebook. We're trying to still get you to do that, and we want to have all the people come on and just kind of show their support. And also, you know, you can go to www.redsnapperonline.com if you want to check out some of the characters and some of the books, especially from Memoirs for a Creole Crime Cartel. You can find out more there, as well as the rest of the books that I've put out. And also, if you want to listen to the show and not want to listen to it on the phone, you can listen to it on www.redsnappersplacehouse.com. And we're ready now to get into our show. I see we have a caller, and I hope it's my friend. Is this you, Renee?
This is me. Can you hear me?
Oh, I sure can. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Well, how are you doing?
You know, I'm so glad to have you on the show, and I'm glad to hear from you again, because the last time I saw you, of course, you was here in Kansas City, and I was definitely happy to see you then, and I'm definitely happy to talk to you now. So how's things going for you?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on the show. I had a great time in Kansas. I had a great time at your little soiree at that fabulous place. Thanks for giving
all right.
us out-of-town forces something to do.
Okay. Well, you know, anytime you come in my area or if I'm around, we're going to make sure you have a good time. So that's what I do. You know, Red Snapper does that. So.
Right.
but what we want you to do right now, Renee, is if just to break the ice and give some people a little bit about you. Can you kind of go back and you know, and tell us about you, because there's so many things that you've done. I've read your bio, and I know that you're a very phenomenal woman, and I just wanted to tell you that before you get into your bio, because I know you'll probably be humble about what you're saying about yourself, but I think that you should go ahead and let people know just how much talent you have, if you can do that for us.
Oh, thank you. I like the way you put that.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so where do I start? I have three novels out currently. The first was Mountain High, Valley Low. My first novel came out in 2004. The second was Misguided. And the third was In Her Mind. That's the most recent one, the one I've been kind of running around the states with. My next novel is Raging Blue. I was actually making corrections on that manuscript today. That'll be out in the next couple of months. I did the, people may be familiar with the Divas of Literature Tour, which is a tour where we have five authors. Together we went to different states, and we actually toured malls and did book signings and giveaways and contests. We had a lot of fun in the middle of the mall, different malls across America and some major cities. I also am the founder of the Self-Publishing Symposium, the business conference for independent publishers and self-published authors, helping to bring the two worlds of mainstream publishing and self-publishing together in order for independent publishers to get the insight, tactics, and business operation practices that they need to be very successful in business.
I like that.
Thank you.
I definitely like that, yeah.
That's about it. I was one of the commentators on the show here in New York City on WBAI 99.5 called Off the Page, which is hosted by Esther Armagh. I was one of the four literary leaders that would get together on the show, and we do roundtables on different aspects of literature and what's happening in the book world and book reviews and all kinds of stuff like that. And other than that, I love reading and I love writing. That's about it.
Well, you didn't get into your education, which I think is very phenomenal as well. You don't like to talk about where you graduated.
Okay. Oh, goodness. I don't have to tell the years, right?
We just want to know where you went to school.
I went to St. John's University for undergrad. I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Communications. I then went to New School University for film school, which rivals Tisch Film School. I went on Spike Lee's recommendation, actually. Yeah, he felt it was one of the best film schools, so based on his recommendation at the time, and I was very much into film, I actually went there because of his recommendations. And I have a master's of arts in media arts in the film and television program.
Okay.
And I recently went back to school. So currently I am pursuing a master's in creative writing here in New York City. And looking forward to I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it like I'm a brand new student. You know, like I just got out of high school and got into my favorite college all over again. So I'm really,
I know,
in a totally different place in life, but I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the assignment. I love the fact that my writing is being challenged, and I have, you know, been able to see it grow so much even just in the past couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to getting my master's in creative writing. I'm looking forward to eventually teaching the program. Other than that, I took courses in magazine publishing, and I'm just a career student. Every couple of years, I find a reason to go back to school.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I do the same thing. I'm an educated guy as well, and I've been to several schools. But I need to do what you're doing as far as, since I'm doing this writing thing, this literary game, which I love, I probably need to probably get something like you're doing, like a master's in creative writing or something like that to kind of expand my craft and learn more. Because there's so many things you can do. And I'm glad that you have that symposium, which I'm hoping that I can get some information on that. Is it just for women or is it for everyone?
Everyone. It's all self-published and independent published authors. We bring the industry out. We have had people from Hyperion Books, Amistad Press, Hachette Book Group, Kensington Publishing Group, agents, editors from across the industry, reviewers from across the industry, because they're the ones that's doing it every day, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. They're the ones running the marketing departments and the publicity efforts for these major companies and corporations.
Right.
They're the ones managing the careers of some of these major, major authors out there, from James Patterson and T.D. Jakes to Eric Jerome Dickey. So they come out and they pretty much teach the independent world what they need to know to be successful.
Well, yeah, I definitely want to be part of that because, you know, I'm trying to do my best in the game. And you know, I get tired of sometimes how, and it's not always happens, but sometimes how a lot of the mainstream feels that the independent authors or publishers are not really, I guess, in the same sheet with them as far as, you know, it goes. And I'm glad that you have that because it will definitely show that, you know, just because you didn't go through a major company doesn't mean that you don't have the skills or the abilities or the capability to want to learn about it. So, yes, I definitely want to get more of that. And one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is because you're such a nice person. You're such a bubbly person. I love you. I'm glad you were able to come on. And like I said, when I met you, your personality was just brilliant. And you're a person that's approachable. But, you know, some people aren't approachable. I mean, I met some people even at that same conference, and I'm not going to talk about folks, but I'm just saying even at that same conference that wasn't approachable, and then some that were. And, you know, it was just – that's just the way it is. In any industry you go in, I guess, you know, you have some people that they feel that they've arrived or they're at a point where they feel that you're not there. But we all know that it's all about God anyway, and all of this is what He creates for us to do, and we can only go as far as He'll let us. So.
Exactly.
Right. But how did you get into the game? What started you? I know you said you've been writing for a long time, and what actually gave you the spark to want to write in the genre that you write in? Tell us about that.
Getting laid off. I got laid
getting laid off. That's a big one. That's
I got
a,
laid
that's
off.
A,
three
okay.
Times.
Well.
So, okay.
Okay.
Well, my writing career has started way before that because my daytime career, I actually didn't go into film when I came out of film school. I got a little nervous about the fact that after every film project, you have to look for a brand new job. So I got a little nervous about having to constantly look for a job after shooting a film. So I started going into the entertainment side or the business side of the entertainment business. So I was looking into PR and looking into marketing. I took some marketing courses in grad school and actually went in that direction. So I've been doing marketing for a number of years. Right at this point, almost, you know, well over 10 years.
Okay.
So in my marketing, you know, marketing for corporate America, I also did a lot of writing because I enjoyed it. So I did a lot of copywriting for marketing materials, both freelance as well as the stuff for, you know, the jobs that I worked for, everything from writing strategic marketing plans to writing copy for websites, ads, brochures, sales kits, all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, but it was really more business writing, more salesy type of advertorial type of writing. But I've always loved the creative writing side. And in film school, I actually wrote some screenplays.
Wow.
Which I later turned into, when I decided I wasn't going into film, I turned, you know, started turning some of those into books.
I can make the switch back eventually.
You're right. I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, I forgot to tell you that if you hear this sounder, and I'm not trying to cut you off because you're going to go back into it, but if you hear this noise, it's because you said something that I really enjoyed. So just remember that when you hear that, okay? I know
I
you know
it.
That sound. Okay. All right. So go ahead and finish explaining.
It.
Okay.
So, you know, I wrote a lot professionally, but that wasn't the type of writing I loved to do. I was always an avid reader, you know, dating back to Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, with Judy Blume. So I did a lot of writing kind of as a therapeutic thing, you know, long day at work. I come home and I sit down and I write for a couple hours and it would just take me away. It was just, you know, it was like taking a bath, like going to a place where you can just, you know, sit back, relax, enjoy. That's what writing is for me. It's therapeutic.
Really?
It's therapeutic. It's just it's a restful
wow.
place. I kind of get lost in it. You know, it's just like getting lost in a good book. You pick up a book and you look later and you go, oh, my God, I've been reading for 2 hours. That's kind
right.
of how it is when I'm writing. So I would do you know, my creative writing after I've done all the stuff that I had to do for work, all of the business writing. And Mountain High, Valley Low, which is my first book, I probably started working on that book maybe 10 years before it actually came out. Because I didn't write it for publication. I was just writing it because it was something I enjoyed to do, and I would just add a chapter here and there, and you know sometimes I get inspired and add 2 or 3 chapters. Then 9/11 hit, and that's when the marketing and advertising industry went south.
Right.
And I got laid off 3 times in a row.
Not 3 times.
3 times.
Sorry about that, baby.
Exactly. So I got laid off. I went back for another job. Let me tell you the key to that. Before I got laid off, I asked God, I said, okay, God, I have a lot of things that, you know, a lot of directions that I've been going into. You know what I want. You know what my path is. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Where is it that I'm, what is it supposed to be doing? So all the other interests kind of fell away, and the only thing that can kind of remain before me was writing. And I was writing assignments. I write for Network Journal Magazine. I've written for Black Enterprise Writing Magazine. So I've been, you know, doing writing assignments here and there. That's the one thing that kind of stayed in front of me when I kind of asked for my direction and purpose. So now that I have my direction and purpose, I'm still working in marketing. I asked for the opportunity to pursue my dream, and I got laid off.
Right.
I didn't
okay, well, I'm sorry about
as,
that.
Exactly.
So maybe somebody was telling you something. Maybe God was trying to let you know. I mean, you know, this is not, I'm not trying to go religious on you, but maybe that was just a way of letting you know that you're supposed to be doing this. Now, the genre you write, what is the genre you actually get into?
I actually write what you call, it's called so many different genres these days. There's a pigeonhole for every area that you can possibly think of. My books are called relationship fiction. It's called women's fiction. It's called, you know, in some areas it's called chick lit because it's for chicks. But I don't really agree with that because my books really, you know, I have male characters that we speak from their perspective. You know, they go through some of the same stuff that we go through. We all go through the same stuff in life. So
exactly. So is there any, I know, because you know my genre is mostly erotica, but, I mean, do you kind of get into the sexual side of things when you write? I guess if they call it chick lit or whatever, I guess you probably touch those areas as well.
Oh, yeah. And I would say out of all of my novels, the first one is probably the spiciest of them all.
Really? And why?
Yeah.
Do tell. You know, I usually read the books before people come on the show, but, of course, I didn't get a chance to get you, but I'm going to definitely – I want these books because I want to be able to read and see, you know, just the different styles. And I don't really read a lot of Arthur's books because, you know, I don't like to get – you know, because I write myself, and, you know, I have 6 novels myself. So when I write, I try not to, you know, I don't want to have anybody else's thought in my mind, even though my intent is not to try to take what they've written. But, I, you know, if you have it in your system or in your soul, then it's going to come out some kind of way. So I try not to read too many people's stuff, but I will read certain items, you know, people's books. And I'm interested and intrigued with that Mountain High, Valley Low because it sounds like, the book, of course, it sounds religious, but then when you get into it, I'm sure it gets into, like you said, some spicy stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Mountain High, Valley Low is about a girl who met Mr. Right, but she met him at the wrong time. So what happened? Mr. Right at the wrong time.
You know my sounder should have went off then. You know that, right?
I was waiting
for
it.
I'll get you next time. That's all right. I'll get you next time. Go ahead.
So in the story, she meets this fellow, and they kind of got what it takes to really have that thing, you know, that great relationship, you know, the type of relationship that people look at and they say, they've got it.
Uh-huh.
So they've got that. But what happens is they got a lot of interference from their former relationship. When she came into this, when she met him, she had just found her boyfriend in bed with another woman.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then
that's crazy. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like the night she met him. And on his side, he had a woman that refused to be replaced. She was not interested in being pushed out of the picture. So she wasn't happy about him finding interest in someone else. So it was a lot of confusion coming from both of their sides with the people that they had dealt with previously.
Mm.
They had what it takes, but it was getting past all the drama that the outside forces added to the situation in order to try to get there. And then all
kinds
of stuff popped up.
So what happened when they was it him that found his woman in the bed with somebody else, or she found her man in the bed with someone?
He did. He dropped her off at the airport. She was on her way to a business conference. He dropped her off at the airport. She missed a flight. So she took a taxi back to the house after she'd been in the airport, standing in line, trying to get another flight. It was trying to get a new flight for her. Turned out they couldn't get her a new flight until like 4 o'clock that afternoon. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. So she had no choice but to go back. He lived near, not too far from the airport. She had a key to his apartment. They'd been together for a long time. So she figured he works from home sometimes,
my goodness.
She's like, you know what, I'm just jumping a taxi. I'm going to go back to the house, and I'll hang out until, it's time for me to come back to the airport, because she didn't want to sit in the airport all day long. Well,
so
she
got walked
back
in,
home,
and there it was.
Yeah, she was a little bit of a surprise.
In the bed, she catches him. My goodness.
I love that.
Well, that's something. I really like that. That is good. I know I got to get this book now, for sure, so I can read that. Because, like I said, there's certain people's books I'll read. And, my stuff is so crazy anyway. I don't know if you've ever even touched one of my books, but my stuff gets so deep into the sexual side of things sometimes.
I've heard about your book.
What have you heard? Tell me.
Is
it bad?
No.
Are they bad? Because,
I heard it was a little spicy.
Oh, it's a little hot now. It's a little warm. I mean, you got to be ready. I suggest that you be
warm.
With...
No, that's not what I heard. Your books aren't warm.
Okay, all right, okay. I try. I just write stories that I think that some people don't want to, they want to write, but they don't do. So I write them. Like, I'm writing one now called Acts of Congress about these three congressmen who are going through something. And they're all messed with the same escort. And then they find out later about the escort that she's not what they think she is. And it just gets thicker and thicker. Of course, I can't tell you more because I don't want to give up
the
plot.
Right, that sounds intriguing enough. I'm already turned on by that. I'm good with that one.
Okay, well, anytime you want to get in my books, I'll be happy to send you signed copies free of charge. Not a problem, because you're a very nice person. I would do that for you. And you're welcome. And right now, while we have a little space, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we have Renee Daniel Flagler on the show. If anybody wants to call in and ask questions, you can do so at this time or whenever you feel like it. She's going to be here for another 35 minutes. Now, their second book was Misguided, right?
Yes.
Tell us
Misguided.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Misguided is named Misguided because everybody in the book is misguided.
I love that. I love it. That is great. That is good.
What happens when you mix a money-hungry diva, a jealous best friend, and a man who's coming into a big inheritance?
You know what you get?
What?
A fucked up situation. Yeah, you can cuss on Word Sexy Radio. I forgot to tell you that. Anyway. You get a fucked up situation. But anyway, wow, tell us. Tell us more about that.
Sure. So what happens is Kennedy, the main character is Kennedy Devine. She finds out that her ex, who also happens to be her son's father, she finds out that her ex is coming into a nice inheritance. His father's pretty wealthy. He's strange, but wealthy, and he's terminally ill. So he's about to pass away, and Troy being the only son who's, you know, going to take over his empire. Him, of course. So she finds this out through a family member that his father's passing, and, you know, he's going to be passing his businesses and his inheritance and everything on to Troy. So she decides it's a good time to get back with him.
Oh.
So she, you know, works her magic to get back into his good graces. And it wasn't too hard because, you know, he was always intrigued by her, you know. And they have a child together, so they had some history. So it wasn't too hard to get back into the good graces. But what happens is, in order to be able to really benefit from the inheritance, she had to kind of solidify her position in his life. So she created a plot, a scheme.
The scheme. Do tell. What is it?
That was
no, it was I like funny. Doing that sounder. I'm sorry.
I know. I love it. I'm cracking up over here. So she created a plot that would help solidify her place in the benefit of this inheritance.
Really?
The problem is she brought someone into the plot. She needed to bring somebody into the plot in order to make it work. The problem is the person that she brought into the plot. So I can't tell you anymore because you have to read the book in order to find out if it blew up in her face or if it actually worked. But it's filled with a whole lot of
want to get that book because it's my kind of thing. I love all that twists and turns and movements, and you think it's going one way and it goes another, and I love that. Misguided. And you said that came out when? When did that come out?
That actually came out in 2006. It's still selling though. Both of them are still selling, so I'm definitely
glad. You're a great writer. That's why it's still selling. So we definitely want to get that now. And before we get into In Her Mind, because I know that's going to be intriguing in itself with that, because I know it sounds like somebody that I know. But anyway, we want people to call in the number 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio. And I see we may have a caller. Is the caller up with the last four of 2953? Do you have a question? Okay, no, they're just listening. That's cool. All right, well, we'll just keep going with our interview then. And like I said, the In Her Mind sounds so intriguing in itself. It sounds like something that only she thinks in her mind. So tell us,
what is it all about?
It's only in her mind. Before you start explaining this, now I want to ask you. Now, you know how everybody always asks the same old dumb question? Well, I ain't going to say it's a dumb question because people are intrigued and they want to know how you get all these ideals to come to play. And we know it's fiction, but some people think that you got to live the stuff in order to write it. Tell us how much of it is real and what isn't.
Hardly any of it because I'm happily married for 15 years and nobody wants to read about that.
I hear you.
Unless it's a self-help book. But I have a very vivid imagination.
And how does your man, and if I'm not, I hope I'm not getting too deep, but how does your man feel about that? Because I know some people and have been through stuff where you write, and especially with me, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put myself out there. I write these books, and I love writing them. And, of course, a lot of people think that, you know, you've done it. Even your spouse might think that. I actually don't have a spouse anymore because they didn't like the sexual stuff I was writing in the books, and they were like, what? Where did that come from? But anyway, you know, that's just the way it goes, and I chose my books and peace of mind over trying to explain. But anyway, my thing is how do you, when they ask that question, how do you explain to them? Like you said, I know you said you've been married 15 years and all that, but how do you come up with the ideals?
Actually, they come up in all kinds of ways. You know, writers, and you know this too, you know this for yourself. Writers, in a lot of ways, we're like actors, where we have to kind of go to a certain place to be able to write from that place. So, like, an actor has to go to a certain place in order to make the role believable. As a writer, you kind of have to go to a certain place in order to put it down on paper and make it, you know, create something in a way that's going to connect with the readers and allow them to visualize and experience what's going on through the work.
So let me ask you this. Since you said that, do I got to go to a strip club so I can write about strippers? No, I'm just playing. it was there. I'm sorry. It just popped out.
I was about to
say,
you don't have to go, but it would help. With research.
Yeah.
That's what I call research. I do research. Don't get
and
mad
I thank you for that because that's what it is, okay?
I do research. But anyway, we won't talk about the research. We're going to leave that where
it
is.
Yeah, we'll just leave that. Yeah, let it stay where it
is.
That's right.
But for some things, it really is purely imagination. Sometimes you wake up and it's a dream that started off, and then like, oh my God, that would be a great book. And you write down the main idea of that, and you can expand on it. I can take a wrong telephone call that, you know, and twist that into a story. You know, nice, sexy voice. The guy calls and, hello, can I speak to so and so? And it's, oh, you got the wrong number. Who's this? And take that and do something with it.
Wow.
We're
trying to make our voice sexy here, as you can tell. But anyway, go ahead.
So it's about imagination, twist and turn. And remember, I'm a film, you know, I was a film major. So I've lived in that whole creative world for quite a bit. But besides that, when it comes to, you can put all kinds of situations together, but when it comes to the essential things that drive people emotionally, it's all the same. So if there's a really sexy scene that you want to write about, you just got to go to that sexy place for a moment, and you can embellish it as much as you want. If there's a hurtful scene that you want, that you need to get through, you need to go back to a hurtful place, a time or a place where you experience a level of hurt, and then you can take it from there and embellish on it. So it's very similar. Yeah, you kind of, it might be a roller coaster ride every now and then. You may have to live through a little bit of stuff, but that's what makes it authentic, and that's what brings out and connects with people.
And that's why people are still reading your books, even though they've been out for several years. And that's great. And see, that's what it's all about. And I'm glad you explained it that way. So, all right, now, in her mind, what is going on in this girl's mind? Tell us.
What's going on in this girl's mind is, and women hate to admit it, but the main character in her mind, Shelley, which everybody loves to call crazy, that's crazy. That's what they love to say. That's a crazy bitch. But there's a little bit of Shelley in every single female in the United States of America. And there's always been at least one man who can push one particular woman to a certain point. Mm. With Shelley, she's not that unique. She's just over the top. What happens is it's a continuation from Mountain High, Valley Low. So in the beginning, in Mountain High, Valley Low, Lexi and Brian, they meet. And, you know, they got what it takes, but they've got the interference from the exes and the situation that they were going through at the time that they connected. Well, what happens is Brian and Lexi seem to make it. And through all the scandal and all the crazy stuff that's going on, they kind of made it. So at this point, they feel like they got what it takes to merely make it, and they figure they've been through the worst of whatever they can go through. Now they're together, and they're about to get married. Well, lo and behold, Shelley resurfaces. She finds out a month before the wedding that they're about to get married. In her mind, he belongs to her.
Oh.
In her mind, he will always be hers. So when she finds out about this wedding in 30 days, she embarks on a journey to do everything within her power to make sure they don't walk down that aisle.
Oh, and it thickens up, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're real thick.
Oh, man. So I'm going to have to read it because I know you're not going to tell no more. That right there was enough. You sure you don't want to make that into a movie? I mean,
that would be a very interesting movie. Have you read that book?
I would need to get that book. I want to read all your books now. For real, seriously. I'm not just saying that because we're on a radio show. But, I mean, I knew you were an intriguing person. I'm serious because I'm not lying to you. There's not a lot of authors. I love reading and stuff, but I don't probably read as much as I probably would like to because I'm writing, if that makes sense. But my thing is there's certain people that I will read, and these are very, very intriguing. Man. And you don't write erotica? Wow. Anyway.
Well, I add a little bit of erotica to my story.
Well, I mean, I know. I mean, I bet they're very sensuous. But, I mean, and you don't have to be as deep as me because I go into actual sex scenes and actual, you know, them actually doing the act from beginning to end. And that's why people say my books are what they say because I don't know what they're saying. But anyway, you know, and like I said, I hope it's not too bad. I mean, I've been called, and I don't know why, but and nothing against that, but they've called me the male Zane before, and I'm like, well, am I? I mean, because I've read some of her stuff, but it seemed like my stuff's a little, and not trying to put her down because she's out there. She's made it, and I'm happy for her, you know, but seemed like my stuff is like, too risque to a point. But I like that, though. That's why Red Snapper is Red Snapper.
You have, and there's an audience for that, so there you go.
And it is. And there's a lot of people that's definitely reading that. But back to you, because you got this stuff going on. And I can imagine your fourth, your senior novel, that's the next one that's coming out, right? Your senior novel, which is going to be, you said Raging Blue?
Raging Blue.
Oh, man. I know you can't tell us about that because that's coming out. And
I can give you a brief insight into the book of Raging Blue.
Well, give us a little, but not, you know, not a lot.
Not too much. Raging Blue is the story of a woman by the name of Blue. And it's called Raging Blue because she's fire mad. She's betrayed by her husband in one of the worst possible ways, and then betrayed by a friend. So she's on a path for vengeance. Even though the path to vengeance really is not a match to what her personality is. It's a little bit of a struggle, but she's going to get hers.
But it's not male bashing, though, is it? I mean, even though they may deserve it.
No, not at all. And you know what? I put in the scandal. I put in the things that actually happen, the things that actually relate to. But I also try to be a responsible author in a certain sense where I'm responsible for my culture especially. And if there is somebody who's totally scandalous, there's always somebody else, a minor character, maybe even another major character, who is a wonderful, good, stand-up black man because I'm an advocate for good love. I have a great husband. He's a good man, and good men do exist. The bad ones get all the exposure.
It makes it seem
like the good ones don't exist. But there's a lot of them out there. My friends and family are married to some great black men. So I personally try to advocate for them in my story.
Right. Well, that's good. And I'm not, and I didn't, I hope you didn't take that I was insinuating that. I was just saying, because sometimes, you know, just like, you know, the play that just came out for Color Girls and all that, I hadn't seen it, so I don't know what it's about. But I know it's not all about male bashing and stuff, but a lot of guys think that because, you know, it's a bunch of women in the story, so they figure, well, they must be dogging a man or something. But that's not necessarily always true.
Not at all.
And, you know, I know it was a good play. I hadn't seen it, but I'm going to definitely go and check it out. But I know that with all the talent you have, some of this stuff has definitely got to, you've got to put it in a screenplay. You know, like Scandalous Motives, you know, the book that I read, my first book, was a series of Scandalous Motives. It was, you know, it's not about really male bashing. It's kind of like what you were talking about, the people all doing these little scandalous things, you know, that, like, nobody knows what's going on, you know, and everybody's doing something to try to get their own agenda. So, you know, I like those kind of books when you can read and one person's doing this, the other one's doing that, and the other one's doing this. They're all doing stuff. They all got skeletons. They're trying to keep it covered from everybody else.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff I like to do. And I'm gonna have to give you, like I said, I don't know if you'll read them, but I'm going to have to get them to you sometime, and I'm still trying to get them together, you know, with editing and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm one of those independent publishers, and I'm trying to make it. That's why I want to get that information from you on that.
So. I definitely read them. I do a lot of reading, and even though I write a lot naturally, since I've been in the master's program, I've been writing even a lot more because we take what we are working on. Like Blue has been Raging Blue, that story, we've worked on it in class. You know, you submit what you're working on and it gets workshopped. They give you feedback. I mean, and it's all great, and I think it's definitely helped. But I think it's extremely important. I've always been an advocate for craft. I believe that writers should just not stop at the end of their novel and say, okay, great, I did it. I think it's a process. It's always learning, always honing your craft, being the best writer you can be, and going through whatever process is necessary to be that. But the part of that is reading. Because the more you read, I understand what you say about, you know, you don't want to take from nobody's idea, but, you know, your stuff is really unique. And the reading the reading is not really going to be, you know, we're kind of our writing is actually filtered through all the experiences that we have with words, period. So the people
who love
to read and everything else. I mean, your voice is always going to be unique, so I don't think you have to worry about, you know, mistakenly perjuring or anything like that. But reading a lot, it just helps us when we're writing sentence structure. I've read lines in books, and I'm like, wow, that was so beautifully crafted. You know, I need to work on structure in my sentences and make them flow and sound like this. You know, so it's part of the research process. I say read multi-genres. Read all kinds of authors, all kinds of genres, all kinds of books, different, you know, just open up. I say keep doing it because it's part of your research, and you'll find that your writing gets richer in the process.
And I thank you for that, because I do try. I do need to do that, because I've also done some writing. I wrote a book called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress, which is a paranormal. But I didn't write it as Red Snapper. I wrote it as my pseudonym, another pseudonym that I have called R.J. Leonard. And, you know, I put on there that it was written by me, you know, Red Snapper writing as R.J. Leonard, just so some people can have an idea who it was that wrote it. But I am trying to go into other genres besides erotica, even though this paranormal still was a little erotica, because, you know, paranormals and, of course, vampires and all that stuff is still kind of sexy as well. But this book was about a succubus who, this woman back in the 19th century basically was a princess in Africa who had a husband that she was, you know how they do contract marriages, where she had to marry this man and just so these tribes can come together. But what happens is she gets with this man and he's gay. And he doesn't want her. So basically she goes to this voodoo priestess who is going to give her the power to make her make her husband want her. But what happens is she gets the power, she actually gets in bed with him, and they actually go into the act of sex and making love to each other. But what happens is his servant, who is his assistant, is also his male lover, comes into the scene and messes everything up and makes a curse on her, where she becomes this succubus, who, of course, is a demon that goes around and has sex with men in their dreams. So basically what happens is she ends up killing her husband accidentally because of the sexual stuff and everything. And she ends up in the 20th century later, you know, where she ends up here in now time, and she's going around. Of course, she'll end up meeting this reincarnated husband of hers, a form of this guy who looks just like her husband. And she's going to try to get with him because she's trying to make up for what happened back then, you know. So, and that's out there, Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress. It's out there on Amazon as well, and it's under Red Snapper, but it's R.J. Leonard, which is my other name, and I'm doing some stuff there. So I'm trying to dabble in not just erotica. I want to do all types of stuff, and I just love writing, you know, and I want to do some mysteries and stuff. And, you know, that's what it is. You know, everybody thinks, oh, you just write sex. I mean, and there's some sex in there because it goes into the scenes of how she has sex with these guys, and she gets stronger and stronger as she goes forth. So, you know, we definitely want you to read that, and you know, and just kind of tell me what you think, because, you know, like I said, I'm trying to be different. Nothing wrong with urban fiction, nothing wrong with all of those genres that are out there. People should, you know, that's good they're doing it, but I want to bring something different, like you said, something to the table that's different. That even though it's sexual, you know, right now, and later on it may not be. I might write thrillers or whatever, but you know, right now it's sexual, but I mean sensuous or whatever, but. You know, I think it should be given a chance. You know, it's like anybody's writing. If they're serious about writing, I think that should be something that's done. So I'm sorry I started getting on me. This is about you.
It's all right with me.
Well, we got like 15 minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to be able to kind of do, you know, tell people how, if they want to get you to come in and do a book signing or anything like that, or how they can get your books and how they can get in contact with you. If you could go ahead and kind of give us a little of that, and then we'll, you know, kind of take it on down, because I'm very interested in your work. So that's one of the reasons. And you as a great person, like I said, I'm serious about that. You know, you showed me some love, and a couple of other authors there did. And then there was some that just was terrible, but that's just the way it is. So kind of give us a little bit of that.
You know how the world is. The ones who are terrible, the people say, oh, you made it, you get terrible. You were terrible before you made it, and just nobody paid attention to you because you didn't make it.
That's right. There you go.
So
you're
now
right.
That you made it, you got more people focusing on you, your terribleness shines more. So they will always be terrible. That's the bottom line. But right. When it comes to getting my book and gaining access to readers, first and foremost, I absolutely love engaging and with readers. I love it. I really enjoy that process. I love getting feedback from readers. I like talking to readers. I like talking to them about other books. I've been at book signings, and one girl came up to me, and she was like, I don't like this, but I really read romance. I really don't read a lot of this. I said, girl, so do you know about Don Hill? You know about so-and-so and so-and-so? She's like, no. I said, come on. I took her to the romance section. Here I am at a book signing, taking her to the romance section, showing her some of my favorite romance writers.
But that's the kind of person you are, though. It's not just about you. You like the literary game. I call it a game, but you like writing and reading. You just love it, and you'll tell people, right. You know, and that's the way all authors should be. I wish they were, but because there's enough out there for everybody. I mean, if they read all my books and read all yours, there's still other books they can read. Why can't we share?
There ain't no one book quota. You can only read one book a month or one a year. So I feel like there's no competition. So I love engaging with readers, and I like to engage in any possible way I can. I love meeting up with book clubs, coming out to book club meetings. I love the book signings. I love the events. I just enjoy it. So anybody wants to get in contact with me to come out and do an event, I do a lot of speaking. I speak to teams, everything, for either my books, for events, whatever it could be. I can be found at my website, which is ReneeDanielFlagler.com, which is my name, which I write under. ReneeDanielFlagler.com is the portal to everything. My books can be ordered from there. They are also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They're available in bookstores. They're available in libraries. If you go to a library or a bookstore and they don't have it, ask for it. They'll bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have it come in. And we actually, as African-American authors all over, whether you're, you know, large or small, we need more people to do that because we need the, you know, just like the film industry, they want the theaters to carry their movies, but there has to be some kind of demand. We want them to make sure the bookstores are carrying all of our books, but, you know, our people have to order them. They have to ask
for
them.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, I also, you know, I like the reviews too. If good or bad, it doesn't matter. A lot of times people, you know, they get your books, they want you to give them to them, first of all, and then, which is fine. I don't mind giving books away. I mean, I've done that. Like I said, because I love it and I love writing, and I want you, if that's the only way you're going to get it, is to read it, is for me to give it to you, then I'll do that. But, you know, we also want to make money as well. I mean, because it costs money to make these books, especially if you're independent like I am. So, you know, I mean, it's not about the money for me, but I really want people to enjoy what I'm doing. If they give me bad reviews, it'll hurt, but I'll take it with stride and make myself better because I want to do better. I want to be able to be where you want to read what I'm writing. I don't want to just be doing this for nothing. And I know you, with your spirit, that you're that type of person, and I know that, like I said, you're taking courses and you're doing things to make yourself better, which that's what I'm going to have to start doing as well. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, that's what it's all about. We're doing this for our people, our fans, our interested people, or other people that's interested in writing. And I try to help people that want, you know, that want to write. But when you come to me asking me, I want to write a book, but I don't have time, then I don't understand why you want to write a book. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? You ever get that question? Well, I want to write about myself.
All the time.
Okay. Well, what's so important about you that you think that's important? Not saying that it's not, but
no,
you know, everybody's
always.
Why would
everybody want to read it? And it's not a malicious question. It's not like we're saying to people like, why would anybody want to read about you? But if somebody asks you why would they want to read it, you need to have an answer. So that's you know what
right.
I mean?
I think my life is exciting, right?
Right, but how exciting? Make me want to pick up your book. You tell me about something that's intriguing, then I might be looking for it when it's ready to come out.
Right, exactly.
You're right, though. I love the world of books. I love the world of words. I love the world of reading. I can read all day. You know, we are avid readers in my house. My son is 12 years old, and he's acing school because he reads so much. He devours books
that's
like reading.
That's great. That is great. Now, what's new for you? What's coming up for you? What do you got in the future? If you know, the next couple
coming
of years
up?
Are. Yeah, what's coming
it's
up?
Interesting. As I go through my master's program, I'm going through a little bit of transition, and I see my writing growing, and I feel like my writing has grown through each book because I've tried to do something between releasing each book to kind of be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt there's been growth from book to book, storyline, plot, characters, stronger characters, things like that. And now with the master's program is even a bigger impact. So I'm looking to go into different areas. I'm looking to take some of my expertise and help people with that through a nonfiction book about building your personal brand. Because as a, you know, for corporate America, I've done, you know, help companies build brands and market. So during the times that I have been laid off, I actually started doing consultants. I have a couple of clients that I've worked with to help them build their brands or to launch brands or to market, helping entrepreneurs or small businesses market like the big guys, but on a small budget.
Well, so I tell you I need to talk to you about that because the book is not the brand. The Red Snapper is the brand, and,
exactly.
And people, you got to keep that out there, and that's why
exactly.
You always see me on Facebook. I know you'll probably get tired of me, but I'm on there all the time. I'm trying to let people understand that I exist, and
exactly.
I'm here, and I'm not going nowhere, and I want you to know that what I do, and that's what it's about. So I definitely need some pointers in that aspect as well. So you are so talented. You have so much to offer, and that's what I like. That's why I like doing this radio show, because I get to meet some people that are great, and then you got some that are just all about themselves. I've had them on here as well, but, you know, that's here and there or whatever, but, you know, that it's still fun and exciting, and I want my publishing company to move forward as well, and, you know, I think you can help me with that. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we got 8 minutes left, and I know you got – I mean, I know that Raging Bull, Blue is going to be something else.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a good time with Blue. I'm really having a good time with Blue. There's one, there's a character in this book that is so daggone scandalous. There's times that I wanted to jump into the pages of the book and choke her.
Oh, man. And that's good when you can create characters for characters like that. And her name is, what is her name?
Her name is Mia Reynolds.
Oh, my goodness.
Mia is a mess.
Now, do you do like, now, here's one question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask you, I got two questions. One is, when you come up with your stuff, is it title first or story first? Which one do you usually do?
It really depends. Sometimes I can actually start from a character trait. I can start like Kennedy Devine, the book Misguided. That started from a character trait, you know, a person who's motivated by money.
Right.
And the thing because a person who's motivated by money will do things differently than someone who's not. So based on that character, you put them in certain situations, they're going to react a certain way.
Wow. So she could have been a gold digger or anything. I mean, you could have named it whatever. But in her mind, it's just great because, I mean, it's all in her mind.
No, that one is there. Yeah, that's something else.
and the next question I had was, go ahead, finish your thought, and then
I'll ask the question. I'm good.
Now, the second question I was going to ask you, the next question was the character development that you do. Now, sometimes when I write these books, I think of people that if I was looking at an actor or something, who I would think would play a part. Like one of the parts that I have in my Scandalous Motives, the guy who played the husband that was the crazy husband, of course I thought of Blair Underwood. And, you know, do you kind of do that kind of thing when you come up with your character development as well? How do you decide when do you see a vision of that character when you write about them? Or, you know, how do you just your own way of how you do it?
Okay, my strategy, and I've taught this in some of the writing sessions I do, is I court my characters. So what I mean by court my characters, I kind of spend time with the characters, developing them like inside out, because I want my characters to be multidimensional. I want you to, you know, know them like a person that's standing next to you.
Right.
So I'll play.
Because you want people to talk about them as if they were really characters, like they're people.
Exactly, people.
Right.
So by the time I'm done courting my character, they've got a look. They've got a personality. They've got, you know, certain characteristics. They got certain things that they do all the time or certain ways. You know, one of my characters, every time she gets mad, her ears get hot.
Oh, man.
They have,
I like
you know,
that.
There's certain things about them. And now, if you think about it, this is one of the exercises that I actually do with people. Think about a person who is, let's say, a church girl. Now, everybody already automatically gets a certain vision of what that church girl is like. You know, you might find her, and you won't find her showing any cleavage. She may have a long skirt on. She may have modest-looking shoes on. You know, she may not have a lot of makeup. She may kind of does not wear a lot of makeup. Or, you know, and I'll take it from that, you know, how she looks, what does she do with her hair, what type of activities does she engage in? Is she a loner? Does she sit home by herself? Is she the type of person that don't get along with everybody? Is she a gossiper? Is she quiet? So, like, all of those different characteristics that makes up a person, I'll break them down and create a character from that. And when I spend time developing that character, the character of that character or the personality traits of that character, that way I know them so well that when they show up in the book in a certain situation, because I know them so well, like my sister or my brother, I know exactly how they're going to react. I know exactly what they're going to do.
And see, that's very good. And I guess a lot of that, like you said, came from your learning as well, from film school and stuff like that. But that's really good. But you, knowing the little I know about you, I think you probably would have been doing that anyway, even if you went to school or not, because that just seems like the kind of person, the kind of detail that you would bring anyway.
I am pretty detailed.
Yeah. And see, like I said, I don't know. I know you, but I don't know you. And I'm glad that I do know you, if that makes sense. Because, like
exactly.
I said, I'm not with you every day. But you know, I the time that I've seen you and stuff, I picked up a lot of things on you. And then talking to you tonight, it has really showed me that I was right about you, that you are a good person, and you know what you're doing, and that's really good. And I'm just glad that I have met you. And hopefully we'll keep this going, because I want to have you back on the show again once your new book comes out. We want you back. And, you know, anytime you want to come on, you know, anytime you're welcome. Anytime you want to come to Word Sexy Radio, you can come on back, and we would love to have you. So we got about 3 minutes, and we're going to agree to cut it loose. But you got any last-minute things you want to say, any shout-outs, anything you want to give out real quick?
Oh, last-minute things? Oh, please come visit me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I'm on Twitter. I'm a very active social media person.
Uh-huh.
So I don't bug people. I don't bug them. I engage with folks. I fellowship with folks or whatever. But, you know, join me on the site. Talk with me. Engage with me. Let's have a good time there. Visit my website. If you read my book, feel free to email me through my website. Just click contact. It comes right through my email. And let me know what you think. I love feedback. I love engaging with folks. So if you're out there and you love to read, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, you're going to hear from me all the time. No, I'm not going to bug you, but I am going to keep in touch with you, okay?
No problem. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the show, and we are so glad that you was able to make time for us today.
I'm so glad that you wanted me to be on the show. I'm glad you had me.
Not a problem. And we thank you for coming on. And we just want to let everybody know that this has been Word Sexy Radio. We've had the incomparable Miss Renee Daniel Flagler on the show, and she's just a phenomenal person. We're just glad that she was able to come on. And we want you to go out to her website and check her out, okay? Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Red.
All right. We'll be talking to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.